Chapter 26, France and England at War, Henry V and the Battle of Agincourt. When the Black Death swept across Europe, it interrupted a war between England and France. For 10 years, the kings of England and France had been fighting over French land that the English claimed should belong to England. Do you remember that Richard the Lionhearted was killed in France while he was trying to capture a French castle for England? The English and French had been fighting over land for a very long time. When soldiers on both sides began dying of plague, the two countries gave up fighting for a little while. But as soon as the Black Death passed, the war started up again. In all, France and England would fight each other for almost 100 years. We call this long quarrel the Hundred Years' War. The English king who came closest to winning the Hundred Years' War was named Henry V. He is one of the most famous of all English kings because a poet named William Shakespeare wrote a play about his attack on France. When Henry V became king, he was determined to bring an end to the war between England and France once and for all, and he had a plan for getting that English land back from the French. You see, Henry's great-great-grandmother Isabella was a French princess who married an Englishman. So Henry sent a message to the French king saying, "The land I want actually belongs to me because I should have inherited it from my great-great-grandmother, the French princess Isabella. Give it to me and also give me your daughter Catherine to be my wife, or else I'll invade France with my army." The French king, who was named Charles VI, knew perfectly well that he couldn't give Henry the land and his daughter. If he gave Henry the land, he would be admitting that the land belonging to a French princess should actually go to the princess's children, even if those children were English. Then if Henry married Catherine and had children, Henry could claim that Catherine's children should inherit all the land belonging to Catherine. And since Catherine was the daughter of the King of France, Henry could claim that she had a right to own all of France. Henry's demands were a sneaky way of getting France for himself. So Charles VI sent back a message rejecting Henry's claims, and his son, the heir to the French throne, sent Henry a rude insult along with his father's message. He packaged up several tennis balls and told Henry, "You're just acting like a child. Stop running around threatening France and go play some tennis instead to burn off all that extra energy." That was the last straw. Henry V prepared to invade France. In Shakespeare's play, Henry V sends the French prince back this message after he opens the tennis balls. "Tell the prince that I am glad he can make jokes with me. Tell him that when I have hit these balls with my racket, I will hit his father's crown right out of bounds. Tell that joking prince that this joke of his has turned his tennis balls into cannonballs. And although a few people may have laughed at his joke, thousands more will weep because of it." Here are Shakespeare's actual words. Remember that dauphin is the French word for prince. "We are glad the dauphin is so pleasant with us. When we have matched our rackets to these balls, we will in France, by God's grace, play a set, shall strike his father's crown into the hazard, and tell the pleasant prince this mock of his hath turned his balls to gunstones. And tell the dauphin, his jest will savor but of shallow wit, when thousands weep more than did laugh at it." When Henry's army first landed in France, everything went wrong. He was defeated in several small battles with the French. His soldiers got sick. Their shoes began to wear out. And then winter started to come down on them. Henry knew that his army might not survive a long, cold winter camped out in the open. So he decided that he should go back to England and try again the following year. But the French didn't intend to let Henry try again. The French army cut off Henry's retreat and met his ragged band of soldiers at a field called Agincourt. Henry was outnumbered, but he had no choice. He had to fight, even though his soldiers were tired, cold, hungry, afraid, and outnumbered. In Shakespeare's play, Henry inspires his men to fight with a famous speech in which he tells them that they are lucky to be at Agincourt, because men will always remember them. And he tells them that the battle will make them all equal, even those who are peasants or vile. The word vile used to mean from a lower part of society, will be like nobility. They will be gentled or made like gentlemen. Here is part of Henry's speech before the battle. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, while any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. St. Crispin's Day was the day when the French and English fought at Agincourt. Of course, we don't know exactly what Henry V said to his men before the Battle of Agincourt. His speech probably wasn't as stirring as the one that Shakespeare imagines for him. And we don't know whether he convinced his men that they were lucky to be fighting the French. But we do know that the English won the battle, even though the French army was so much bigger. The Battle of Agincourt was a turning point in the Hundred Years' War. Henry went on to take control of a large part of France, and the French king, Charles VI, gave Henry his daughter Catherine as his wife. Charles also agreed that when he died, Henry V would become the King of France as well as England. But even though Henry V had conquered France, he never got to be its king. He died only 7 years after the Battle of Agincourt, 2 months before Charles VI also died. With both men dead, Henry and Catherine's son, Henry VI, became the King of England and France, even though he was only a year old. Joan of Arc. The baby Henry VI became the King of England and France while he was still in diapers. But many of the French didn't want an English king to rule them. Instead, they wanted the Dauphin to be crowned King of France. Do you remember the Dauphin, the Prince of France? He sent Henry V tennis balls back when Henry first threatened to attack France. If it hadn't been for Henry, the Dauphin would have inherited the French throne from his father, the King of France. And now that Henry was dead, he wanted his crown back. But not all of the French wanted the Dauphin to be king. Some of the French thought that the baby, Henry VI, would grow up to be a better king than the Dauphin, and they also hoped that the English would give them money and land. These French followed a powerful nobleman called the Duke of Burgundy. They were called Burgundians. Now France was divided in a civil war, a war where the people of a country fight against each other. The French who wanted the Dauphin to rule were on one side. On the other side were the Burgundians, the French who wanted the English Henry VI to be king. And English soldiers fought on the side of the Burgundians as well. The Dauphin and his army needed to keep control of one of the most important cities in France, the city of Orléans. But the Burgundians and the English surrounded it and started a siege. Unless the Dauphin and the rest of his army could drive the attackers away, Orléans would have to surrender. One day, the Dauphin and his generals were planning out their next move in their headquarters when a messenger arrived. "Sire," he announced, "a girl is demanding to see you." "Who is it?" the Dauphin snapped. "It is Joan, the maid," the messenger said. "She says that God told her to save the city of Orléans from the siege." Now the Dauphin knew who Joan was. For several years, he had been hearing rumors about this peasant girl. Joan of Arc claimed that saints and angels appeared to her in visions and told her to lead the French into battle against the Dauphin's enemies. Many people believed her. A French knight had even given her a horse, armor, and soldiers to follow her. Now Joan was here at the Dauphin's headquarters. But how could this girl help him get his throne back? "Send her away," he ordered, but his advisors convinced him to see Joan. "The people love her," they whispered to him. "They believe that she has been sent by God to deliver France from the English, and sire, one of your guards has already insulted her. She told him, 'Do not mock God so near your death,' and not more than an hour later, he fell into the moat and drowned. Finally, the Dauphin sighed. "Very well," he said, "send her in. If God has sent her, she'll recognize me even though she's never seen me before." He gave his crown and royal robe to one of his friends to wear, and he hid in the crowd that filled the room. When Joan came into the throne room, she ignored the man wearing the crown. She pushed through the crowd until she found the Dauphin and knelt down in front of him. "Dauphin," she said, "I have come to see you crowned King of France." At this, the Dauphin was almost convinced that Joan was sent by God. But he ordered his priests and scholars to ask her questions about the Christian faith, to make sure that she was a true Christian and not a sorceress. When the priests told him that Joan was a follower of God, the Dauphin agreed to let her attack the army of Burgundians and English that surrounded Orléans. When Joan arrived at Orléans at the head of her army, she called out to the English to surrender. But they shouted back, "We'll burn you if we ever get our hands on you. You're nothing but a cowgirl. Go back and tend your animals at home." So Joan ordered her generals, "Attack!" The French soldiers, sure that Joan was blessed by God, fought ferociously against the enemy. At last, the Burgundians and English were forced to retreat from Orléans. Joan had her first great victory. From now on, she was often called Joan, the Maid of Orléans. Now Joan was determined to take the Dauphin to the great cathedral at Rheims, the center of the Christian faith in France, so that he could be crowned king. She marched to Rheims with the Dauphin and her army, defeating enemies as she went. Finally, the Dauphin reached Rheims and was crowned king. Now he was called Charles VII of France. All he had to do was defeat the last remaining Burgundians and drive the rest of the English out of his country. Joan was ready to help him. But the Dauphin hesitated. Instead of fighting, he tried to make deals with some of the Burgundian leaders. He told his army to wait while he sent messengers back and forth. As time went on, his soldiers began to desert him, and then all of his deals fell through. The Burgundians attacked him. His army was defeated, and Joan was captured. Charles VII didn't even try to get Joan back. He let the English and the Burgundians put Joan on trial for witchcraft. During the trial, no one who liked Joan was allowed to testify for her. Witnesses who hated her made up false stories about her. She was found guilty and was taken out to be burned alive. But still, Charles VII did nothing, and so Joan was put to death. Many of the people who saw her executed wept. Even some of the English cried out, "We have burned a saint!" After Joan's death, Charles VII and his generals finally managed to drive the English out of France. The Burgundians swore allegiance to the French king, and Henry VI lost his claim to the throne of France. France was free of England once more. It took 15 more years for Charles VII to remember Joan. Perhaps as he grew older, he began to feel guilty about abandoning her to his enemies. Whatever the cause, he finally asked the church to re-examine the case against Joan. 25 years after Joan died, she was announced to be innocent of all charges against her. 25 years too late.